Welcome to Bipolar Vortex, Tales from the Tunnel. I'm your host, Kelly Anchors, and today I'm so excited to have Violet here. Woo, yay! She's the star of Sweetback's new show, Bipolar Bitch.
I'm there every time you get high. That you don't have a choice. The things that became you are someone else. And does it freak you out? Shrieking pangs, constant doubt. The life you got's a bitch, and she's raping you.
Bipolar Bitch, actually, in its second incarnation, we were in the Prop Theater, Curious Theater branches, Rhino Fest, and due to many sold-out shows and demand, we have extended, and we are now at Charnel House on Saturdays at 9 o'clock. Welcome, Violet. How are you?
Hi. I'm fucking killing it. Yes. Can I say the F word on your podcast?
You sure can. Great. It's encouraged.
Great.
I don't know. I always like to tell the story, and I know I'm like an old grandma, and you're like, she's going to tell it again. So my sister, Allison Smeltzer, who I love, lives in Bucktown, and her husband, Ethan, is a bartender at the Gallery Cabaret. She kept saying, you won't believe this person. Like, she's incredible. She's got a band, Dr. Death Crush, and she's the lead singer, and she dresses up and just gives it everything. And it's mesmerizing, and that's one Friday. Is it the first Friday?
It's first Friday, sorry, first.
First Friday of every month, and you will always thank me if you show up and go see Dr. Death Crush. It is absolutely a smashing time. And on Wednesdays, it is called Magic Freakout.
That's every fucking Wednesday.
Every fucking Wednesday, and Violet just does this cabaret, and I went to go see her. Well, I didn't, like, honestly, for a year. And then I went to go see her, and she was sitting at the piano and just singing these songs, and she is mesmerizing just to look at. Like, even if you couldn't sing, I would have been in heaven just looking at you. But, oh, my God, playing the piano and singing, and wrote it all herself, and I was completely mesmerized, like, just starstruck, honestly. And I was devastated when you got up and let other people perform. I'm like, no. I guess the setup is you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you. I just opened it up. What's the setup?
Because
yeah.
It's like an open mic night. So you get like your own like slot to do whatever you want to express yourself doing. And that's every Wednesday. But it is all me the whole time every Friday. Or I'm not every first Friday of the month.
Yeah, it's all you. Yeah.
I do the intro cabaret on the piano and kind of warm it all up. And then we do a full Dr. Death Crush set, which is loud and good, and free exorcisms. And then I close it out with another little cabaret thing, too.
And describe your character, I guess, as the lead singer.
I mean, it's really just my side hustle. It's actually pretty close to home. I'm a psychic dominatrix, where it started as a shtick, but it's become so much more. So I actually do domination work in my like spare time. So
And it's sometimes $5 exorcism.
Well, that's the fun part, is the $5 face slap is just, it's a radical discount considering my normal rates.
Totally.
But
totally worth it. And yeah, then free exorcisms.
Yeah, they're free. That's a rolling thing that just happens when you show up.
It's an honest to God, unbelievable good time. I mean, it's just, you just get caught up. You're just caught up. Go, people. Go. So anyway, this is called Bipolar Vortex, and it is about being bipolar. Mm-hmm. All right, first of all, you know, it's just got to be said, bipolar sucks. I mean, it really fucking sucks. Mm. I would prefer not to be bipolar, I think. I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty rough on me. I've really been struggling with depression lately, and it's not really letting go, so I'm in one of those retching places right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. When I went to go see you, and I'd been working on the show for 3 years, it was supposed to be Kellyanne Corcoran, Jill Erickson, and me, and these are two really strong writer-performers that I've known for years and admired their work, and they both talk openly about their illness. We all do first-person work, and so this is a piece I've been trying to get together for a long time, and because we're bipolar, I think, it kept falling apart. So I was going to go forward, but I had no thoughts. There's no musical. I don't sing. None of that. And I'm watching you, and I'm just drunk in love with everything you're doing. And halfway through your set, you said the magical words. I recently found out I'm bipolar.
Yeah.
And my first reaction to that was, I hate to say this, but it was like, yay!
Yeah,
and it wasn't because it connected with me that you were going to blow my show out of the water. Mm. But honestly, like, I wanted to be in your club. And when you said that, there was like a little piece of me that was you that, oh my God, she's bipolar and I'm bipolar and I get to be in this little bit of this club here. Yeah. And I think I kind of hang on that sometimes, like Carrie Fisher and just people that I love and care about that are bipolar, and it makes me feel, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what
kind
I mean?
Of like, yeah, it's kind of like a siblinghood, sort of like a felt sense, kind of.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, you know, by name or whatever. I mean, it's got a hold. It's got a power. I'd say that's true.
Good.
I think definitely hanging out with all the bipolar people in this play has made me. It's definitely normalized a lot of things for me. I'll be honest with you.
I'm like,
cool. Other people do that.
Oh my God.
Great. I don't feel so horrible doing this now.
So hopefully a lot of you know this already, but Bipolar Bitch, almost the entire cast has a bipolar diagnosis. And you know, if you come up to me on the street and tell me you're bipolar, I'll probably put you in the show. but it has been super challenging, but it has been really helpful to me.
Yeah.
And I think you guys can tell from the minute we started rehearsal, I had this really strong sense of what I was doing, and I wasn't faltering, and I wasn't questioning myself because I knew Violet was my net. Mm. And it really gave me this confidence because I haven't directed in decades. And when I directed, I had a lot of confidence. But there's been a big break because I had a nervous breakdown in my last show. And mm-hmm. I've been really scared to do
so
it.
So did I before this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You did?
I did. That was how I got my diagnosis in the first place, was I was trying to put this show together, this play last summer. And I was like, uh-oh.
It's a lot of fucking pressure.
Yeah. It sucks, because I was definitely trying to I wasn't even trying to direct it, but I was just trying to be in it and write it.
And produce it.
And it was absolutely nightmarish. And it was a lot of me manically promising a bunch of stuff and then depressedly going, hey, can't make it today.
Yeah.
Like, whoops.
That's why I don't think Sweetback would have been successful without Mike, because Mike McCune is my husband and co-producer, but he... you know, he's got a lot of stability and groundedness to him. And I would just come up mm-hmm. with these wild ideas and like, oh my God, like right now I have this new idea. And I just fly in there and I dare anybody to tell me that it's not going to work. And I do that. I promise. And I come up with all these ideas and I'm sure we can do it. And don't tell me I can't. Mm. And then like the next day I'm on the ground going, I can't even get coffee. Like, there's no way I can make a dream come true or an idea come to fruition. And then Mike just sort of like gets the hammer and nails and is like, all right, well, let's just give it a go. There was a lot of doubts about some of the stuff I was doing, and I had to really stand up for myself. And it wasn't hard. I mean, I've had people say, you seem so sure of yourself. And it wasn't easy when people, I know that I have perception problems, and maybe they were just trying to be helpful. But when people would sort of talk against or comment on an idea, I took it as questioning my vision or questioning my thought, and it was hard. It was really hard.
Well, at some point, like, sewing your heart into it like that, it kind of questions your validity as an artist, like, every time you get, and it's really, that sucks, because I've definitely done a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
You're just like, because especially when it's about you, you're, like, really hesitant to accept criticism, because you're just like, no, this
me.
Is what it is. This
yeah.
is it. This is it. This is what it is. It's not like, you know, this is something we can change, you know.
And
that's how I feel with Dr. Death Crush. I mean, certain things where I'm just kind of like, especially lyrically, I'm like, I'm going to sing this. I don't really care.
Not going to compromise.
If you don't want me to sing it, because it's my song and I have to do it over and over again.
So once it got on Facebook and I started to get some serious
backlash
against the concept that I wanted it to be more on the mania side, and a lot of people, you know, I really got some harsh words said to me that hurt a lot, like, oh, so you're going to write a play about the most obnoxious side of bipolar. And I know that even though I'm flying and feeling great, I do a lot of annoying when I'm manic or hypomanic.
Yeah, and that's definitely a big driving part of the depression is, like, going back over all of your manic mistakes. Oh, yes.
Fuck!
Don't mind if I do for a whole afternoon.
If you're lucky, an afternoon, more like a week in bed.
Yeah.
With the lights off and no
just
food.
That.
But anyway, Rick Paul, who is, I don't know, I can't even say what he is to me. He's so much to me, but he's been an artistic collaborator of mine for, you know, ever since things fell apart. He came and sort of rescued me and artistically. And he pulled me to the side and he said, Kelly, you're not telling everyone's story. You're telling your story. And you tell your fucking story and you be brave about it. And then after that, I didn't, honest to God, I really didn't give a shit what people said to me anymore. Mm. You couldn't fucking stop me anymore.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. And I think that's what I see in your art.
Yeah, at some point it was either make this or die, so people can suck my ass if they don't like it.
And let's take that and have another song.
La 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 la
you know, having disassociation, which I go in and out of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got disassociation, depersonalization, decentralization, and derealization.
Oh.
All of them? But it's from all the different kind of, like, angles that I'm trying to heal from right now, because I've definitely been also doing this whole transgender experience, as well as a bunch of PTSD trauma processing stuff.
Yeah, therapy for the brave. Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, what's real at any time?
It's so true, and which is why I don't do LSD anymore, because I'm there, even with all my meds and a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
What's real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as we are wont to do, a little bit off track here, but I just wanted to say that I left that night, and I just, you know, I couldn't stop thinking about it, and I really honestly couldn't believe and still can't believe, and I know that you will get a way wider audience, and I can't wait for that for you, but really just to see that much talent in this little dive bar really just floored me. Really floored me. And I went to see Dr. Deathcrush, and I'm just a huge groupie fan now. But I think it was a week or 10 days, I'm not sure, later. And I thought, what if Violet starred? And I got to say, I was kind of planning on starring in it myself, my play. And I thought, what if Violet starred in it? And oh my God. And the songs that you sing, you know, I don't know what the basis of them are, but every one that I could remember easily could translate into the experience of having a bipolar diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking about it. And honestly, what occurred to me is I didn't need to be in it. I mean, you could just stand with a microphone and sell out. But I thought this would be a great chance, and I don't think I've ever told you this, but there was something about you accepting, which is totally funny, because I went to the bar shaking all over, and I was like, can I talk to you for a minute? And I asked you to do it, and you were smoking a cigarette, looking larger than life as usual outside. And I was so nervous, and you were like, yeah, I mean, I guess. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like to know a little more about what you want to do. And I was like, okay, that's good. I'm going to run before I fuck it up. But I really feel, because I knew that your talent was going to resonate, and I knew that it was going to be a success. I knew it. I've been producing theater for a long time. I know what I see, and I know what I saw. But I felt so safe, because I knew that that would succeed. And because I knew that, I wasn't worried about taking risks with the rest of it.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's such a cool thing.
It really gave me a safety net.
What a nice thing to say.
It really did. And I've thought that, and I've never said it to you before. So I know it's pretty common to be diagnosed in your 20s. That's when I got diagnosed. I mean, I was in shock, and I definitely didn't accept it. And it's been a decades-long road of acceptance. I'm really there now, but I don't know what I thought, but it gave me some construct to make some sense or have some understanding. So mm-hmm. If you could sort of talk about, I don't know, either getting the diagnosis or sort of some things that fell off before you got it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, like, I didn't get it until like tail end of my 20s. I was literally 29, and I was trying to make this show, and then I left my phone on the bus by accident, and I said, basically, that was, like, the final straw, and I just completely lost my mind. Like, I was screaming and kicking shit just on the street, just, like, walking down. I was, like, right by that Golden Nugget at Western and Diversity.
Yeah.
I got off the bus because I left it on the Damon bus, and I got off, and I was just like, oh, no. I started screaming I started breathing really hard on the bus, and this lady was like, let him off. He's having an asthma attack. And I was like, first of all, I'm a trans woman. That's not what I said. I was screaming, and I was basically just blaring my negative self-talk, like, at the top of my lungs, walking all the way back to my house from there, which could probably, like, 6 or 7 blocks. And then I just said, uh-oh, I think I have to go to the hospital, everybody. And then I just kind of walked over there. And I honestly, it was interesting because I thought it was just kind of like I was going to be like hospitalized for like, you know, suicidal ideation or whatever, because I was definitely, I mean, the thing that's really funny is, it's not funny, it's hilarious. I've been baseline suicidal since I was about 8 or 9. And just kind of like, that's my thing. Like every day I'm kind of like, well, I would rather be dead, but we'll do this. You know, that's kind of like pretty much every day for the most part. And I'm just kind of like with it at this point. But sometimes it gets so intense, or like you leave your phone on the bus and it gets so intense. You're like, I have to go to the hospital because someone's got to stop me from doing this. And then they kept me for like longer than I thought that they were allowed to keep me. So it was like 5 days. And I was like, oh, I thought it was just going to be the weekend. And then I was kind of like, hey, I got to go make rent. So you have to let me out. Like, otherwise I won't. Cause that's what it's like to be at my financial echelon. And so, yeah, that was really what happened. Was I was kind of in this psych ward, and I was kind of, not sleeping cause I was flipped out about being in the psych ward. And I thought that was kind of like what was going on, like that they weren't able to take a requisitely qualitative diagnosis based on the small time that I was in there and based on the super, you know, irregular behavior that I was displaying while I was in there. But then once I got out and my therapist kind of started explaining what the diagnosis meant and how there's bipolar 1, there's bipolar 2, and then there's mixed bipolar. And there's mixed bipolar episodes, but the actual, like, diagnosis of mixed bipolar disorder by itself is characterized by not, like, a steady up and a steady down. Like, there's no, like, you know, predicting what happens. And there's also a lot of concurrent symptoms. So, like, I'll be super depressed, but my mind will be racing, and I'll be having pressured speech about, like, how, you know, horrible everything is. Or how horrible I am. And yeah, so it's really, and it's, I mean, case in point, like last night, for instance, at like 10:30, I just started crying, and I kind of kept crying and for like on and off for like another like hour and a half or so. And then something was really funny, so I started laughing my ass off. And then I cried for another half hour after that. And then, yeah, I just basically, you know, I woke up today and I was fine, and then I was super fucking bummed. And it's really just kind of like being with myself. At some point, it's just like, yeah, it's kind of like a roller coaster, but it's more like the one that like swings you like all around everywhere. Like the scrambler.
I was gonna say, that was my favorite one when I was growing up. Yeah. Boy, am I making a connection now.
That's my constant life, which is, you know, something I didn't know was going on for quite some time. I just kind of thought, well, you're defective. Hide. So nobody hurts you.
Honestly, that's the part of bipolar I hate, because I feel like I don't want to infect myself on others, because sure. I'm not fucking easy.
No. There's a lot that I'm going through, and that's totally cool. And it's really just all about the specifics of the healing journey. I was about 29 before I really started exploring my transgender identity, my bipolar identity, and any of this PTSD stuff, you know, that I had been actually sexually assaulted, that I was able to realize that, you know, rather than just kind of irrationally blaming myself and putting myself through the ringer for, you know,
something that wasn't your fault.
Something that wasn't my fault. Yeah, and that's a lot of the things that we do, I think, with a lot of mental illness. You know, there's not a whole lot you can do except for be with yourself. That's literally it. And the more that you practice being yourself, the more that I practice being with myself, the easier it is to directly state my non-negotiable boundaries.
How you present to everyone is a complete role model. This is who I am. I mean, everyone that comes in contact with you that I've ever seen loves, admires, pretty much worships, has a crush on. But you completely take it and own it. And if there's any insecurity, it's nowhere to be seen at all.
It's masked pretty efficiently by the gratitude. that I expressed. I think that's easiest. That's the easiest way to go about somebody telling you something good about yourself. Because a lot of people have the natural American, you know, reaction of, no, I'm not, you know what I mean? And try to be self-effacing to seem relatable. But at the same time, you know, I'm not trying to be relatable. I'm trying to be me.
So, worldwide fame and domination, is that the plan?
I'm not going to necessarily dominate everything.
You'll save a little
just
for the
others.
Just
the things that ask me to.
Okay.
No, yeah, I don't necessarily need to dominate the world, but I want to go everywhere, and I want everyone to pay attention to me mm-hmm. while I'm there.
Yep. I mean, because it's not just this persona. It's your incredible talent, and it should be seen.
Thanks.
You know? You're working at it. You work at it. It's a real craft. It's a real fucking art.
And, like, it definitely... I want to just kind of circle back, because it definitely sucks to go through all the pain of bipolar disorder, but, like, ultimately, it's what's made me such a fucking badass. You know what I mean? Like, the intensity of my feelings have informed, you know, a lot of different lyrical choices, a lot of different just tactical choices in my voice and my presence and my songwriting. You know, it's really pretty integral to it. As well as the, what's really interesting is the derealization has enabled me to probably sing better than I ever thought I could, because than anybody ever thought I could, because I was so convinced that it was just fake, that I was just something to do.
Can you just explain that? I've honestly never heard that term before, just now, before you said it today.
Mm. Derealization.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a manic symptom that sort of means...
Oh, everything's not real.
Nothing's real.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so nothing's real, so nothing matters kind of a thing.
Yes, yes. That's what happened right before my suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was all just everything was make-believe and it didn't matter. And I really wouldn't get hurt because it's not real anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I would, you know, waste money on stupid shit all the time and wake up and be completely broke and go, oh, it's kind of real. Shit.
It's funny. I don't know if it's probably not funny to you, but another crazy, crazy thing is actually before the first Magic Freakout where I got to see you sing all night and where you said you're bipolar, what's really funny is I actually came to see you a time before that, and it was for Dr. Death Crush, and it was really late, or, you know, I barely got to see you. Actually, I didn't even get to see you sing a whole song, and you weren't dressed up like you always get dressed up. You're just wearing, like, jeans.
Oh, was I sitting on the floor?
You were sitting on the floor.
That was a bad show.
Okay,
That was probably the worst show I've ever had.
But honestly, I was entranced already. I thought I was just sitting there going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It was nothing like my sister said, that you were going to be all dressed up and just in all this makeup and stuff. But this is the best part. So... you got up and you're singing and you just backed up and your band is shredding and you're singing and singing and there's a door on the stage and you just drop the mic and you go out the door on the stage. And I was just thinking, oh, that's so badass. That's so badass. Like, but then they kept going and going and going and you didn't come back. And I thought, and then they stopped and I was like, oh, it's a break. And I'm sitting and I really was tired because I worked that day. And I'm waiting, and I'm going to Ethan. When's Violet coming back? And, oh, she'll be back. She'll be back.
I left.
You left.
I did.
You fucking left.
I was really upset.
You just left in the middle of a set. And I was sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
And Violet, I mean.
It was toward the end of the set. It was pretty much just.
But nobody knew. The band didn't know. The bar didn't know. And finally, somebody got a phone call. Like, somebody got a hold of you.
Texted me and I said, no, I left for real.
But that was so badass, rock star.
I mean, but that was very undiagnosed bipolar of me.
Violet, thank you so much. It's been awesome. And
this is amazing. I'm so glad that you go around and do this. This is just so fucking great.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And again, I hope you guys will come check out Bipolar Bitch at Charnel. We run every Saturday at 9. Only May 4th, we won't have a show, but we go through June 8th. So please come check it out. You won't regret it. It's 15, 10 if you say the word industry, which means you're in the arts in some way, or maybe you just heard this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Dr. Death Crush, first Friday of every month at
the Gallery Cabaret, 2020 North Oakley. It's basically the Western Blue Line stop. It starts about 10:30 after comedy every first Friday.
And
the
please tell everybody tell everybody where you can hear your music. This is my favorite thing you do.
Well, it is going to be May 3rd. It's the next gallery show, and our single Because of the Drugs and the B-side Seed is available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Tidal, YouTube, Pandora, Yandex, Bandcamp, and SoundCloud. So follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and
do a shout out for Magic Freakout.
Definitely, yeah. Magic Freakout would be every fucking Wednesday. Starts at 10, and you get 15 minutes to do whatever you want. It's theater, it's comedy, it's music, it's just fucking weird.
It's a good
weird.
Time.
It's just weirder and weirder.
Everything's fine again, 'cause where there's love, there's enough time again, and find the beauty.